Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from sunny, warm Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a fantastic show lined up for you guys today. Our guest today is Craig Valleen. Craig runs a member-based group called EMP, which is short for Enhanced Marketing Performance, out of Pasadena, California. Until this year, he ran the local GKIC Marketing Roundtable. But he is now, I'm looking at Linda's notes about this, today he helps entrepreneurial businesses enhance marketing performance to get the best results possible for the same time, money, and effort they are already spending, and to find what he calls underperforming or hidden marketing assets within their business. Craig, welcome to Breakthrough Directions.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well,
can you hear me?
I know I'm not going to do you justice, so I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you're up to.
Sure. Well, you described I am a marketing performance strategist. That's what I call myself. It's a fancy name for marketing consultant. And what I do is I look at I deal with pretty successful professionals, people who are already doing all right, they're doing well, and they want to go to another level. So the way that I help them on an individual basis, on a client basis, is I look at what they're doing and I ask myself, how much better result could we get by testing something different? So for instance, the way someone introduces themselves, that generates a response. How could we get a greater response by testing a different approach? If someone runs an ad, and that ad is producing, let's say, 10 leads every time that ad runs, we say, well, how could we improve it to get 12, 15, 20, or 100? So we want to test different things to get better results. And since we're already running that ad, it doesn't cost any more for us to get a better result. They're already paying for the ad, so all we have to do is really test the content within it. And sometimes that might be a headline, might be an opening headline, might be the offer, whatever. So I enhance marketing performance for those people who are already doing marketing in their business, advertising, sales, that sort of thing. Local group I run in Pasadena, California is called EMP, short for Enhanced Marketing Performance. It's a group for all types of ambitious, driven entrepreneurs who live in the Los Angeles area. As you mentioned, we were the local chapter of GKIC, and that is Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle. Anybody who is a fan of Dan Kennedy or Bill Glazer would know that organization. We ran it up until May 31st this year, and this would have been our 7th anniversary with them. But just due to different changes in my goals and the things I want to do with my business, I decided to move on and run it on my own. So we have about 170 members, all different types of businesses. And they come on a monthly basis to hear great speakers that are in alignment with my way of thinking, that will take their business to another level, that will position them in ways that they're not already doing already, but to position themselves as authorities, as experts in their business, and really market and stand out differently than anybody else who does what they do. And we do that on a monthly basis, and as you mentioned, it's member-based. So that's about it.
What got you interested in becoming an enhanced marketing performance strategist?
Well, it's marketing performance strategist, and I follow two primary people who have influenced me in my life, and one of those people is Jay Abraham. Jay Abraham is a big week guru to many of the greatest marketers in the world. But one of the philosophies that he has is getting leverage on your marketing, and that kind of goes with that philosophy of getting the best result possible for the same time, money, and effort. I really ask myself, what am I doing for people when I'm helping them? And it really came down to enhancing their results, enhancing their marketing, getting leverage where they might not have seen opportunities before, where they might not have known that they could have gotten better results. What I am really, what any consultant to anybody really is fresh eyes. You know, it's coming outside and seeing the opportunities where others can't, because we're so deep inside the little cave of their life. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to anybody. What it means is that sometimes we're just so involved in our life that we can't see the things just even a foot away from us. So based on Jay Abraham's philosophy, I became what he called a protege. He had certified protege program. And I said, this is the philosophy that I want to drive through for the rest of my career as a marketing consultant. But, you know, first, if you asked me about how did I become that, that actually really started way, way back when I was a teenager, believe it or not. I was a successful entrepreneur starting at age 11. Well, you know, it's a story among stories. My dad was giving my sister an allowance of $5 per week, and I was getting 50 cents. And I thought something was a little unfair about that. So I asked him, I said, Dad, what gives? He says, I'm going to teach you a very valuable lesson. Go out and earn it if you want to make more. And so so I immediately found a friend who had three paper routes. I got her to give up one. She then, within 3 months, gave up another one, and then within 6 months, gave up the last one. So I had three paper routes, and they always had contests, sales contests to get new customers. I always won, in monetarily and in prizes. I remember one time, it was a week sales contest, I won 14 tickets to a Red Sox game. By the way, I'm from Boston, so you'll hear a little accent come out of me while I'm talking. I just became very driven to be as successful as I could be as a young entrepreneur. And as a joke, my dad bought me a book called How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Becker when I was just 12 years old. And he got it at a flea market and didn't think I'd read it, but just kind of did it as a joke. And I read that thing cover to cover and highlighted it and did everything. And I still have that book today. But that really motivated me to be successful making my own money at a young age. Well, how I became a consultant is really strange. I have a friend who says, you know, you're doing pretty well, but my dad, who owns a bike shop down the street, is not doing well. And I wonder if you could talk to him. I'm like, I don't know what I can do, but sure. Well, I noticed one thing. I just sat there and kind of worked with my friend behind the counter for a Saturday, and I noticed, you know, the people who came in and didn't buy, they weren't capturing their information. And I said, maybe you don't know why they didn't buy. Why aren't you following up with them to see why they didn't buy and invite them back and maybe answer some questions, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that one thing, that one strategy of capturing the information of everybody who walked in the door and following up with them on a regular, you know, until they said stop talking to us or stop following up with us, turned that bike shop around. And that bike shop is still open in the little town that I grew up with, and that was like 27 years ago. So,
wow.
I mean, that's kind of little things, you know. And one of the things I told my friend, since he took it over, he runs it now, I said, you just got to be a student of marketing. You got to understand that this is all about relationships, and people buy or don't buy for their own reasons, and you just got to engage them. You got to stay in touch with them. Instead of what I call booty call marketing, where, you know, you have a one-night stand, a person comes in and they either buy from you or they don't. No, it's a long-term loving relationship that you want to have with people. And so if they say no the first time, that doesn't mean no never. That just means no right now. And you've got to stay in touch with them And that's what really marketing is all about. It's the beginning of a lifetime relationship, however long that life may be. So after that experience, of course, he says, oh, you should be a marketing consultant. You should go out and help other businesses. And I did, and I tried, I should say, and I failed miserably because I didn't really know how to be a consultant, and I didn't know how to get business as a consultant. And you know, instead of thinking that just so many businesses needed my help, well, whenever you chase something, people tend to run away. So it's like you know, almost just about everybody out there can use the help of a marketing consultant in one way, shape, or form. But when you go and tell them they need help, they're like, you know, they kind of put up their hands and say, no, thanks. It was when I was just about to lose everything, including a relationship I was in, I found Dan Kennedy. And Dan Kennedy taught me ways to attract people strategically, where I was able to, number one, attract the type of people that I wanted to do business with, because I was doing a lot of work that was not outside my scope of expertise, just to make a dollar. But I learned how to attract the type of person I want to do business with under my own terms, create a business that was right for me and under my own rules, so that I have a son, so I could be involved in his life, so I could dress in shorts and a t-shirt if I want to, so I could do business over the phone and not in person, and so on and so forth. So that's the long answer to your question. That's how I got into that.
Great answer to that question, though. And one of the things I know that you often talk about, and it's kind of related to that answer, is the 10 mega marketing mistakes that most business entrepreneurs or business owners make. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's obviously one of the mistakes was in that story that you just shared with us. What are some of the other mistakes you see made repeatedly?
Yeah, so you just called it. Follow-up was one of the things that was is a big mistake. But, you know, the number one mistake that I find whenever I – you know, especially when I'm dealing with a retail client or a restaurant, anybody who has a brick-and-mortar business, is they are what I call an advertising victim. And what I mean by that is they get approached by every ad rep out there just about every day, could be it Yellow Pages, newspapers, weeklies, online media, Yellow Pages, whatever, you know. And they themselves, most that I find, are not educated on how to make a decision on where and how to advertise. So they're at the mercy of the ad rep, who has no investment in their business, who is only looking to make a commission, and who is really only going to be there for about 3 months. Turnover in ad sales is very, very high. So people make decisions based on what this quote-unquote expert, this ad rep who's going to be there for 3 months, who's trying to make a commission, they take the advice of this ad rep based on, mostly, you should be in this this publication, this media, because your competitors are. Well, I think that's the worst decision in the world to make. Just because my
couldn't
competitors
agree more.
Are there.
My husband spent 14 years selling advertising. So, yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Well, you know, it's like if you're not educated, if you don't educate yourself on what the real true reasons for advertising are, then you're not going to make good decisions. So what I teach people who get into this problem, becoming an advertising victim, is there's three things that I learned from Dan Kennedy. And he says you have to, number one, know who your target market is. Who is it that you're trying to communicate with? What problem are you trying to solve? That problem is going to be your message. So you know you have market, message, and media. And it should be in about that order. Number one, who are you going to talk to? Who are you trying to reach? The message is, what problem are you trying to solve? What circumstance does your target market have that you can solve? And then, lastly, decide what media is going to get to them to let them know that you're there and available to help them. So most people choose the media first. And the media, if you don't know who your target market is, if you don't know what they read, they listen to, they watch, where they congregate, et cetera, you're going to make a poor decision almost always. So that's really the big mistake, is you have to know, number one, don't be an advertising victim. But number two, have that marketing triangle down. know your market, know the message that's going to get their attention, the problem that you're solving, the circumstances that they're in that you can help them with, and then third, decide the media.
For the last 5 or 6 months, Linda and I have been talking over and over again on the show about a book mentioned by one of our guests in April or May. And the book is called Good Great Leads by Michael Masterson. And the term
yes.
leads in this book's title is actually referring to the introduction to the copy. So the pre-head, the head, the subhead, and the first few paragraphs. But Linda and I have realized that Great Leads is about way more than just the introductory portion of your copy. In the book, the whole focus of the book is on the fact that there are 5 levels of awareness. And no matter what business you're in, no matter what kind of prospects you serve, they're going to be at one of these 5 levels of awareness. Way down at the bottom end of the awareness scale is people who are not aware. They're so unaware that they don't even know they have a problem. Therefore, they don't know about any of the solutions that exist, and therefore, they don't know about your solution. Just above that is problem aware. They at least know enough to know that they have a problem, but they're so stuck in the pain of that problem, they haven't the foggiest clue on what solutions exist. Therefore, they don't know about your solution either. About 30% of all prospects are unaware. Another 30% are problem aware. Just above that is solution aware. They know they've got a problem. They know about some of the solutions. They really don't know yet about your solution. Another 30% are there. So you've got 90% of your prospects at one of those 3 levels of awareness. And only 10% are aware enough to have at least heard about your unique solution. Only 3% are up at the very top, though, where they're most aware. Somebody looking for an iPhone is usually a most aware prospect. They know their problem. They know the solutions. They know the solution they want is an iPhone. They're just looking for the best deal on it. And so often we see ads that really talk to people who are most aware, and the audience that they're targeting is way down at those lower levels of awareness. So with this critical marketing triangle that you just talked about, having a match between the market, the message, and the media. Does the message focus on the solution you provide or the problem that it solves, or both?
I would say both. You know, if, for instance, if someone's got a headache, you say, you know, and you're, let's say you're a chiropractor who deals with headaches, I mean, the headline is going to say, got a headache, you know, or something to that effect. Or it might suggest, you know, have you been suffering from headaches for weeks? Or when you wake up, do you suffer from headaches? And it's got to be very, I would say, very narrow. You know, you want to speak directly to the person who is experiencing that circumstance, that problem. Now, for instance, if you're a retail store, well, the message might be a little bit different, but it's also going to have to do with timing. So we know that, like, around late August, early September, school's happening. So all the messages are going to have to do with school. But what when everybody's saying that, how do you stand out? Well, you need to know in advance what specific problems are going to occur right around, let's say, days before school or when school starts and you know that people forgot certain things. Well, your message is going to be specific geared towards that. So, and that's just one example, but, you know, tying into holidays, tying into specific problems that come up during the year, tax season, spring, fall, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really timing has to do things, staying on top of the news, what's occurring in the news, things you already know about your market anyway, because really you should really know about your market. Don't ever kind of put your bias on what thing people should want or need just because you do it. You have to do some research in advance. You know, you need to really know your market. And there are many ways to do that, one of which is just a simple survey. Never impose your beliefs on your target market. Get to know what's important to them, what they're looking for. See if there's a need already. See if there's a want, desire, and then and then design your message to attract the right people.
And I hope our listeners are really hearing this, because one of the things that you're really saying there is you cannot possibly design a message that's going to attract everybody at the same time. It's really
correct.
About being very specific. You got to talk to a very specific person, not everybody. Or not everybody shares the same problem, and not everybody's going to be attracted to the same message. So don't even try to go after everybody all at one time. That's what you're really saying.
Well, you know, yeah, I am, and I think I would even say, let me be more specific here, if I may, is that, you know, if you solve, let's say, I mean, it could be narrowed down in many different ways, but let's just say that you solve a very specific problem. And I just said the profession chiropractor. A friend of mine is a chiropractor down the street, and chiropractors solve very specific problems. But if they just say, hey, we're a chiropractor, and if you ever suffer from back pain, then they eliminate everybody else that possibly might benefit from what chiropractic does. Chiropractic also deals with migraines. Chiropractic also deals with muscle pain. You know, there's other very, very specific problems that chiropractors do. And if they just run one general ad, or they speak to a group where they just say one blanket thing, then they're missing out on all the opportunities that are available to them. Depending on the group that you're marketing or advertising to or speaking to, that message should be very, very specific to them, not to everybody in the world. In fact, it should also say this is who it's for and this is who it's not for, because you don't want people who it's not for number one, you wouldn't want to waste your money on that because there's a lot of waste in that. But number two, you don't want to waste your time, money, or effort in that, you know. So you need to know who it's for, who it's not for. Don't be afraid to tell people who it's not for, because, again, just avoid that frustration.
Well, and this goes back to something you said very early on in today's show, and that is it's about the lifetime of the customer. So deciding who it is for and who it's not for, how does that relate to the lifetime value of the customer?
Well, if you have specific products or services for a certain someone, and, you know, and I was just reading something last night, in fact, late at night, I was up late reading something, and people now, especially today, want things specifically matched for them. So, like, you know, news. You see news on, you know, people like to just kind of find out what's specifically them. They get emails to them on, let's say, Google Alerts. They get they subscribe to very specific email alerts from the news. Like, if I just want to pay, I don't want to hear about world news. I just want to hear what's local to me. They're going to get very specific information, and they're going to be paying attention to that. And so let me tell you how that pertains to a business. A business needs to design products and services specifically designed for the customer that they're serving. Because if we have an offer for, let's say, a very specific problem that solves a very specific, you know, a very specific, excuse me, let me repeat that. If we have a product that solves a very specific problem for a very specific person, what else are they most likely to buy in the future? Now, they may continue to buy that thing over and over and over again, but what other problems can we solve for that specific person over time? And, you know, there's a quote by Drucker, Peter Drucker. He says, the purpose of a business is to produce a customer. Since the purpose of a business is to produce a customer, there are only two things that are important to that, marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation produce results. All the rest are costs. So the part there that's important is marketing is really promotion, but it's the beginning of a relationship. And that means everything that we do we need to build upon that relationship over time. We need to keep on, like we would with a loving relationship with a man or a woman that we're involved with, we need to keep reminding them why why we should be their other half. Really what keeps people as well is finding new and better ways to serve that customer, finding new and better ways to show our loved one that we love them, right? If we keep doing the same old, same old, same old, same old, it kind of gets old, gets tiring, gets boring. The customer's feeling the same way, so we need to find new and better ways to always improve that relationship. You know, that's why the words new and improved are always great for products. But if we can enhance their experience, if we can find ways to introduce new things that will improve their life, that's going to enhance the lifetime of that relationship. Did I make sense? I kind of rambled a little bit there.
It does. And so In your advertising, when you're going out to get a new customer, you want to think in terms of what customer is most likely to actually do business with you over and over and over again, not what's going to get you the greatest number of people who buy from you once and then you never see them again, is what I hear you saying.
Right. Yeah, well, it's a difference between making some cash and generating equity. And equity in a business is the long-term value of it. It's like equity in a home, right? If we bought and sold a home, we'd have quick cash. But if we bought a home and we intended to live in it and improve upon it and make it look nice and feel welcome and it's the awe and inspiration of everybody in the neighborhood, then we have built equity. And that's what we want to do with our customers. We want to, number one, attract the type of customer that we want to do business with, right, that our product and service most benefits. But we want to have a connection with them where they feel like, there's no one in town I would rather do business with than this person. You know, I feel like a connection. I walk into, there's a restaurant in Pasadena that I walk into, and every time I walk in, I feel like Norm from Cheers. You know, it's like it's a Mexican restaurant, and they call me a funny name there, but it's in love and you know, in spirit, you know. But I walk in and they take care of me, and they ask me about my son. They ask me about my work. They donate to my causes. I'm involved in volunteer work here in Pasadena. They help my son's school by donating food and stuff like that. And we have a long relationship. So even though their food may not be the best in town, I go back to them because of the way they treat me, because they're just, they understand the business they're in, you know, which is to keep a long-term loving relationship with a customer. And listen, they give me free drinks, they give me free appetizers every once in a while when I bring friends in. They really know how to take care of you, and that's really what you got to do. Like I said, it's like that, if you have a loved one, if you don't surprise them every once in a while, if you don't do things differently, if you don't let them know that you care, the first time someone comes in and says, hey, you're handsome, or hey, you're beautiful, they're going to notice that the person that's in their life hasn't said that to them in a while, you know, and if it keeps on happening, they can be lured away, and all of a sudden you don't have a customer anymore.
Yeah. So what are some of the other mistakes that you see business owners make?
Well, we kind of already talked about lack of an ironclad system for customer data. That's kind of what my friend's bicycle shop was doing. They weren't collecting the information of people walking through the door and then following up. The third one I would say to people is that the lack of diversification in their marketing. And what I mean by that is a lot of people who kind of fall into business because of circumstance, because they lost their job, or because they just say, you know, I want to start a business. There's no forethought put into what it really takes to run a business. But let me get to the point more specifically. Most people start out by just networking, and they join the chamber or they'll join a local networking group. And there's nothing wrong with that, provided, as I said before, message market media, right? It's like that media is, where are you networking? Where's your target market? What's your message, and where are they congregating? If they're, you know, when I started out as a consultant as well, I was going to the local Chamber of Commerce, but my target market wasn't there. I mean, maybe two or three people would show up per event, and maybe one was a prospect, if that, and it was not a good use of my time. I know people who go to networking event to networking event to networking event, and the time of travel, the time on the road, the time away from doing what they do or doing other types of marketing really affects them. So what I recommend is you've got to have other things working for you. And my mentor, Jay Abraham, puts the visual of, imagine a Greek Parthenon, you know, a big granite structure with pillars holding the roof up. And most people have one pillar, and that pillar is never going to hold up a roof over time. So you want to add other pillars, which the pillars are other marketing strategies. So whether you have money or not to market yourself, and you really should, you need to invest in your business. But let's just say if you have networking working for you and that produces a lead every time you go, what other things can we do? Well, let's incorporate joint ventures or cooperative relationships with other types of businesses that have our customer that are not in direct competition with us. Well, maybe every month we generate two or three leads from that. That's good. Well, how about a monthly newsletter? What if we had a newsletter going out all the time, right, every month? And that newsletter generated, let's say, three referrals every month. Well, now, instead of just generating one lead every time we go to a network event, we also have leads coming in from the joint ventures that we have. We also have referrals coming in from newsletters. And that's just three different marketing strategies. So the way you hold up your roof, when let's call that roof revenue, money coming in, leads coming in, you got to have more things working for you at the same time. My mentor, Bill Glazer, he used to say diversity creates stability. The more things you have working for you, the more stable your business will become.
Great, great mistake to point out. That is so true, especially with online business owners. They get so pigeonholed into being an online business that they assume, incorrectly, of course, that everything they do should be online, when they forget that the vast majority of their prospects are usually not even online yet. They're still in the offline world doing things. You can't just be in one place. You got to be where your people are.
Right. The internet is a media, just like the yellow pages, just like the newsletter, the newspaper, going to a networking event. It's a media. It's a way. It's a method of reaching a target market. And if your target market is not online, at least the majority of them, then you can't just rely on that. But Gina, you know why people go online? Because it's cheap. It's free, in essence,
yeah.
Right? Email is free, social media is free. But I'm here to tell you, most people are kidding themselves. They're doing a lot of activity online, and they're not generating a lot of results. And it's because, number one, they haven't educated themselves on other marketing strategies. All you have to do, if you want to get better, is start with reading a book. Number two, get on a webinar where they're talking about that specific media. Go attend a seminar. Do something, but educate yourself on other media. I'm a big, big proponent of direct mail, because direct mail, despite whatever challenges you may have, is still a direct medium to a target market. And there's lots of advantages of it. But people stay away from it because they might have done it once and it failed. And it's because of that critical marketing triangle we talked about, right? It's like maybe you miss any one of that triangle, you risk poor results. So let's say they had a good marketing message, and even they had a good media, but they got a poor list. They didn't have the right list of people they were mailing to. They didn't really know down to the detail who their target market was that they were really trying to reach. Even if they have a good list and they have a good message, but if they use the wrong media, like using online when it should have been maybe directly taken to them, maybe it should have been done in person in front of a presentation or something, you really have to make good decisions, and that comes by educating yourself. Most people are trained in what they do, their skill or their craft, but they don't educate themselves on what their business is really about, and that's marketing, sales, and advertising.
Well, and even if you get close and you get the right media, there are still many channels within that media. So if we look at radio, for example, many different channels that someone might tune into at any given moment. And I guarantee
right.
you not every channel is going to have the same listeners. Same is true online. Facebook is a very different audience than LinkedIn, which is a very different audience than Google+. Just because you've got something online on one channel doesn't mean that you've got that triangle with the right market, the right message, and the right media.
Right. And you've always got to be testing to make sure that you're getting response. And if you get response, that's good. And that's where my expertise comes in, that leverage. You always want to be testing to see how much better result you can get. So if you got a lead on the radio, let's just say that CBS Radio here in Los Angeles, if you ran an ad and you got responses, well, that's good. But, you know, how many responses did you get? Let's say you got 5 responses, people raised their hands, said, I'm interested in what you have to say. Well, great. How many converted into the next step? And how many converted into the next step? You know, you have to measure that. But if you got response, that's a good thing. Now let's test to see how much better response we can get, how much better result. Maybe it's the offer. Maybe it's the headline or the opening statement on the radio show, whatever it may be. But you want to test. If you're getting a result, then I say keep going with it to see how much better you can get. Maybe all you can get is 5. We don't know, but you got to test to find that out. And then once that ad works on that radio show, where else is that target audience listening as well? Or another segment of your target audience? And again, you can micro this down to as specific as you want. You might have an ad running for women. You might have an ad running for men, certain age groups, whatever demographics or geographics or whatever you have. But you always have to be testing.
Yeah, very good advice. So shall we keep going on the marketing mistakes that you see? Or should we say if someone is just getting started, what advice would you give them? Your choice.
Well, and this will fall under one of the mistakes. So I'm going to
I think
this is perfect. So number 7 and 8 on my list of marketing mistakes would be number 7 would be working in your business instead of on your business. So if you're always in doing your business all the time and you're not marketing, you're missing out. Your business is first and foremost, and this goes into number 8, is not realizing the overall importance of marketing. I have learned over time, early on I should say, I learned over time that my business is first and foremost a marketing business. Secondarily, I am a consultant. Secondarily, I am what I do. So if I'm not constantly doing the things that generate people interested in what I have to do, then what I'm doing is pretty much just a hobby. You know, if I want to be paid
Very
for what
true.
I do, you know, you want to be paid for what you do. If you want it to be a business, then you need to first and foremost know that you are in the marketing, sales, and advertising business. You have to constantly be doing things, and you have to treat it just as, you know, your marketing has to be treated just like the most important client you have. You have to schedule it every week. You have to have certain things. In fact, I encourage people to set a marketing calendar at the beginning of the year, or I should say at the end of the previous year for the coming year. It's like, you know, if you're going to attend your networking events, then put those down on your calendar. If you're going to do a newsletter, then put down the date you're going to be you're going to start writing your newsletter, the date it's going to go to the printer, the date you want it in the mail, the date they're supposed to receive it in the mail. I mean, have those things, mark those things out. You cannot wing your way to success. And if you do, it's not going to be long lasting. You know, you really have to understand that you're in the first and foremost, and you're in the marketing, sales, and advertising business, and secondarily, you're in that business you're in. So that's the most important advice I would give anybody just starting out.
It is really solid advice, too. And if you have been working in your business, what can you do differently to work on your business? I think so often people hear the advice, you want to work on the business, not in the business. And they don't necessarily know what that means.
Well, working in your business is doing all the administrative work, doing all the work, the skill stuff that you have, I think, doing the accounting, doing all that other stuff. And what I would say is that they don't have scheduled time. The biggest excuse I hear why people aren't doing more marketing is, I just don't have time. And that's BS. if you have time to answer the phone, if you have time to do your paperwork, your accounting, whatever it is, you got to set time for marketing. Marketing is, again, if you want it for a profit business, schedule that time. And again, through a marketing calendar is great. I mean, you go through the month, then mark your week, then mark your days, mark your hours. You've got to mark down, you know, kind of schedule it. It's got to be choreographed. Plan it in advance. Don't wing it. So the time that you have to do your work for client work and customer work, I get that. That's important. But if you don't have customers coming in, then it doesn't really matter. Because I don't know about you, but I got to still feed my son and my significant other every night. So I am constantly doing something. And that is scheduled in advance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for me, as the holidays approach, starting around Thanksgiving, continuing until New Year, that's my planning time for the next year. And, you know, business gets a little slower then anyway. Why not use that to really figure out what you're going to do next year so you can plan things like an editorial calendar, your newsletter calendar, figure out what you are going to do next year and get it all planned out on paper before the next year starts.
Absolutely. And again, these are things you schedule. You don't just wing it and say, well, I have some time now, so I'll do this. No, schedule it out. And if it means you have to get up a little earlier in the morning or go to bed a little later in the evening, then you got to do that, at least while you're starting out, until you have that normal, regular schedule. And the other thing is that, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, there are virtual assistants that can do things for you. And, you know, before I even got a virtual assistant, I had a mom who stayed home who was a stay-at-home mom that I knew from my son's school. And she goes, you know, I'm looking to make some extra money, but I really don't want to give up staying at home. And I said, you know what, I need some envelopes handwritten and stamped. Would you mind doing that? It's about 1,000 of them. She goes, yeah, sure. I said, I'll give you 11 cents an envelope. There's people locally who are home who could use the extra work. There's students. I have my son. He's 12 years old. He folds my newsletters, tabs them, puts the stamps on them. You know, don't try to do everything yourself. Joe Polish, he's a brilliant marketer, Piranha Marketing. He wrote an article a long time ago called Operation Money Suck. And that was when someone who should be making, let's say, $20 an hour, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, $1,000 an hour is doing the $5 an hour work. We should be doing what our talents are. And where's the money in our business? That's what we should be doing. And get, you know, there's a funny saying by Jim Rohn, the late Jim Rohn, motivational speaker. He goes, never cheat a 10-year-old out of making $5 by mowing your lawn. You know, it's like there's people who want to make a few extra bucks. My son loves it when I give him $20 for doing my newsletters. The woman who was staying home, you know, and making money while her kids were at school loved. Number one, she felt like she was contributing. She was doing something. She felt useful. But, she got some extra gas money, you know, during the week. Don't be afraid to let others help you, and please pay them for it, because it's absolutely worth your time, money, and effort to do that.
One of the first things we teach our students at DU is figure out how much you're going to charge per hour for your clients. And when you're working in your business, actually pay yourself that same hourly rate for working in your business, and you will quickly start to realize how much cheaper it is to go hire somebody else to do it for you.
So true.
Doesn't take very long. You know, especially with sites like Fiverr these days. Oh my goodness, what you can get done for $5. Holy cow.
Right, and there's really no excuses anymore. I mean, even, you know, there's so many sites, especially because of the economy. People are looking for work, so there, you know, there's sites like Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com, and there's other sites that do more work, more specific work. But, you know, even Odesk or Guru.com, you can find people who do things at a fraction of what you might pay someone locally. And I don't want to cheat, you know, cheat the people who are doing local business out, but if we're starting out, we need, and look, I mean, the purpose of a business is to produce a profit. And so if we need to do cheaper work, right, I mean, get quality work done at a cheaper price, then we need to do that. But there should be no excuses. You know, if you know how to design your newsletter, but that takes 2 hours of your time, well, that's nice, but have someone else do it. You know, you really, really got to let go of control and let other people help you.
Absolutely. Especially when I was first getting started, one of the first things I did was I went to a couple of local colleges, built some relationships with heads of various departments, and used interns from the school. It actually, so many people don't realize that colleges, especially the little two-year colleges, they really are struggling looking for opportunities for their kids to actually have real work to do so that they can learn from it. And if you're willing to provide the training, give them the opportunity, and then work with their teacher so that they can even get some credit for it, you can get interns to do just about anything. Journalism departments love to have opportunities for blogging for their students. The graphics art department, get all your graphics work done. Super easy. Just think about what schools are in your area and what classes they offer, and I guarantee you there will definitely be interns. You just have to go ask.
Well, that's brilliant. I'm glad you brought it up, because I recommend that to my mastermind members all the time. Is in my Chamber of Commerce locally here, we have Pasadena City College, and the person who runs the intern department comes and says, take my interns, use them, please. We have, you know, paid interns and we have free interns. They all have great skills. But you just said it, the person running the video department in, you know, at school, the AV department, would be happy to take on a project, either free for experience to build their portfolio or at a nominal fee. I mean, you just got to use the resources that are available. There's really no excuse not to succeed except your own inability to take action. So that's really what it comes down to.
When I first started my business back in 1996, I was very, very sick. I had just been in a car accident. The car accident required a pretty major reconstructive surgery on my spine, and my first back surgery gave me the kind of incurable infection that you often hear about on the news. So from 1997 until 2006, I needed about $40,000 a month in medication to keep me alive. And that's what had me start my business, was looking for a way to get that $40,000 a month to cover my medication. I had a total of about $9.9 million worth of medical bills over 10 years. And it really made me do things differently in my business than I probably would have if I hadn't had such a dire need for such a huge amount of money. The whole idea of working with interns came just from that. If I made $1,000 that day, it had to go in my pot for my $40,000 in medical bills. I couldn't afford to actually pay people very much. It just, I didn't have it. So right. I'm very grateful for having been so sick and dying, because it gave me a lot of very valuable lessons and really made me have no choice but to use leverage in growing my business. And I think that is really the bottom line in business. If you're not using leverage, it's going to be really tough to get your business to the levels you want it to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So any other mistakes that you see?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to mix two, okay? So number one is, number one of the ten, thinking you are your customer. And I kind of alluded to this earlier, is that a lot of people make decisions on what they're going to do based on what their bias is on things. So, for instance, people hate getting junk mail in the mailbox. And junk mail really means it's not targeted mail. It wasn't written or designed for you. It was written for the world. And so that creates a bias of, I hate direct mail because I hate junk mail. But if it's done properly, it's one of the most effective medias out there. What you have to do is you have to understand is that you're not your customer. You have to understand that it's a media that works, and not everybody thinks the way you think if it's done properly. People don't like being sold to, but you have to sell, right? You have to learn how to sell. So, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to call them. If they want to do business with me, they'll call me. BS, you're just afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out. You know, people want to be followed up with. And if they don't, they'll say, please don't call me anymore. And that's okay. They weren't going to do business with you anymore. And they weren't going to do business with you anyway. So don't impose your biases, your opinions on things, on what you think your customers will respond to. Let the marketplace speak for itself. Let the response speak for itself. If you do something and it doesn't get any response, well, then what you did may not have been as effective as it should be. But again, just don't think you're your customer. Lastly, I would say the last marketing mistake, which is very important to keep in mind, is it's too infrequent contact with your customers, your list. So there are ways to stay in touch. Obviously, email is one of them. A newsletter is another way. Postcards. Getting on the phone. Imagine that. I mean, that's an old-fashioned method for getting in touch with people. But you need to stay in touch. Just like if you have a friend, you have, again, a loved one, right? We have to treat our customer relationships like long-term loving relationships. And if we go a week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year without getting in touch with the, staying in touch with the people, well, number one, they're going to think we don't care. And, you know, and number two, someone else who does what we do is going to swoop in and take them away. We have to think of our relationship, you know, of our customers as dear and valued friends and treat that relationship just like we would any loving relationship that we have. So stay in touch on a regular basis. Don't just try to sell things to them. Create a personality with them. Use your own personality. Share a little bit about yourself. I use a little marketing character. I use my son. I refer to him as Mini-Me. And that creates so much conversation everywhere I go. People ask me about my son. How's Mini-Me? You know, and I heard about his track meet. And how big is he today? And, or how, you know, all those things. I get interested and fascinated with my life. Therefore, it's not just a business relationship. It's a more engaging relationship. It's a more loving relationship. And that's really what you want to do. So stay in touch with your customers on a regular basis.
And be open and transparent as you do. I see so many people who have things in their background that they're not proud of, and therefore they actually go out intentionally under a pen name instead of their own name, and they try to make things up that are very obviously not true. They may even go so far as to take someone else's picture and put someone else's picture out there as their pen name. And, you know, we live in a very different world than we did 10 years ago. In this very social world that we live in, I do not ever see instances any longer that that actually works. Do you?
Yeah, you've got to trust is an all-time low. I mean, we can't trust our government. We can't trust salespeople. We can't trust bankers, financial institutions. We can't even trust our friends sometimes, and that's really horrible. So we really have to be as honest as possible. We have to show our true selves. I mean, open up the doors, let people come in. I mean, and I mean that, you know, figuratively as well as literally. You know, you just have to be, you know, I just did a chapter in a book. And it was on the power of telling stories. And one of the ways to tell stories is what we call our origin story. That origin story is a way to build rapport. It's to show we've been where they've been. It shows that, you know, although I was here, I'm now here and that sort of thing. But the most powerful aspect of telling an origin story is that vulnerability, being able to show your true self. And, you know, I mean, the way I tell my story is I was dead broke. I had a dollar in my pocket. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. And I found this book that made a huge difference in my life. You know, that's one of my origin stories. But You know, and then I can, when I'm telling that, people say they feel chills sometimes. They feel like they were there. You know, they feel they can, they it's part of, they feel part of my own experience. And that's really what you've got to do. You've just got to be yourself. It's okay if you're not perfect. People will love your imperfections, you know.
If you've got things that you're not proud of in your story, use them to your advantage.
Well, and that's the best thing about those things is that, here's the other thing, if you can reveal as much of your life as possible, because different people are going to relate to different parts of your life. So, you know, I'm involved in my son's life. People who are very active with their children or who want to be more involved with their children connect with my relationship with that. I used to be in taekwondo, karate. I have several people who I do business with who have, that's the bond that we have now, because they were skinny little guys like me who came up the ranks, and now they're, you know, black belts in karate and stuff like that. We have that connection. I've had problems with a relationship I've been in for the last 17 years. Life is a roller coaster, so are the relationships. But there's people who have those same things who can relate to me. So I reveal a lot about myself. So number one, they know I'm a regular guy. I mean, I may be very good at what I do, but I'm just a regular guy. And they know that they can trust me because I'm going to be real with them. I care about their success. I care about what they're going through in their lives. And they can see that because it's like we have that bond because I've shared my life with them. You got to be true. You got to be authentic. And you got to share, you know, the humor about life. You got to share the struggles about life. And that's how we build that equity that I talked about earlier. It's like you want to have a greater lifetime value of each customer. Be engaged in their life somehow, some way. And that is by sharing your life, by getting to know their life a little bit, by, you know, always providing great value and benefits and advantages to them that they can't get anywhere else, and you'll do just fine.
I want to make sure our listeners know where they can find you, Craig.
Well, if you live in the Los Angeles area, I would love to invite you out to my group that meets once a month in Pasadena called EMP, Enhanced Marketing Performance. You can learn more about that group and come as my guest. Come check it out. See if you like it. If you like it, I'll tell you how to become a member. But you can go to www.empresults.com, empresults.com. If you like what I had to say today, you'd like to learn more, I blog. Not as frequently as I like, but I have great articles on my blog at www.nobscraigvaline.com. My last name is spelled V-A-L-I-N-E. NobsCraigValine.com. And if you want to just shoot me an email, that's the best way to get me anytime, anyhow. Just CraigValine@hotmail.com.
Well, Craig, this has been a fantastic hour that we've spent together. You and I have so much we could continue talking about, very aligned in terms of relationship marketing and how we build businesses strategically. It has been my pleasure having you here today as a guest, and if I can ever do anything for you, please just let me know.
Thank you so much. It's been a privilege to be on, and I just love what I do, and I love helping people, and it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.